here with this week's hottest stories in the investment world. This is Zach's Friday Finish Line.
Hello, and welcome to the Zach's Friday Finish Line. I'm Ryan McQueenie, a content writer here at Zach's, along with one of our editors, Maddie Johnson.
Today is Friday, June 2nd, and we're here to recap this week's biggest stories from the investment and financial world, not including earnings, because we're finally done.
It's over.
It's over. It was another interesting week for some of our favorite recurring stories here on the Finish Line. And yes, that means we'll be covering the latest drama from Washington, as well as the recent happening with the likes of Amazon and Alphabet.
Yeah, absolutely, Maddie. I think you'd have to be living under a rock to have missed that Amazon Alphabet story, as a hint, has something to do with a major milestone for both stocks.
Hint, that's, hint, wink,
that's all I'm going to reveal for now. But we'll get back to that later. First, I think let's start talking about how, I guess, movies suck now.
Yeah. What? What's going on? Some movies. There's also Can.
I think I don't speak French, so I don't know.
I think it's Can, but then I was corrected and said it was Con, and I don't know. Mm-hmm. But that happened like over the course of like 2 weeks-ish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Winners were announced 4 days ago, so those movies look very artsy and promising and Oscar-y.
Yeah.
Nicole Kidman was like the star of that festival, so I'm very excited for that. But yes, it was a shortened week. Memorial Day sucked for movies in general, at least for on the American side.
Right. That's a good point to know, too.
And the long weekend is typically a major period for Hollywood, but that was not the case this year. So, Ryan, can you fill us in on the full details?
Yeah, so we started touching on it there a little bit. Wasn't a great Memorial Day holiday weekend for the box office, even though it typically is a major weekend for movies. According to estimates from ComScore, Memorial Day weekend domestic box office revenue dipped to its lowest level in 18 years, and that was $176 million over the weekend. So I will, as I mentioned, important to note, domestic box office there, and you had said, especially on the U.S. side of things, was weak. The reboot of Baywatch, which apparently wasn't good, it grossed just $27.6 million domestically and less than $1 million internationally in its opening weekend. Big story there, obviously, is that it has Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Zac Efron in it. So it's no, I mean, it has two huge movie stars in it.
Yes.
The Rock is the biggest movie star in the world.
Priyanka Chopra's in it, too. She's great. She's on Quantico. That show's just definitely declined in quality, in my opinion. But she's fabulous.
She's going to need a rebound.
Huge Bollywood star.
This wasn't a great movie, no. According to critics. I haven't seen it. It was one of those, like, wow, that's that bad. I'm not even going to think twice about going to see it. Alien Covenant, which was the prior weekend's number one debut, it dropped a whopping 71% week over week, which was a record second weekend drop for a major movie over the Memorial Day holiday weekend. So that's not a good one. Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales, the 45th Pirates of the Caribbean movie. No, I think it actually is the fifth one, though.
Yes.
Grossed only $78.2 million in the U.S., but again, highlighting the U.S. performance there. The Pirates movies are still big hits internationally.
Huge hits, yeah.
It grabbed $326 million worldwide. So we saw coming into Tuesday when the markets opened, we saw some reaction to this over in the movie theater stocks world of things. AMC was down more than 5% on Tuesday. IMAX sunk about 4% on Tuesday. Those stocks have since recovered, and shares of other movie theater stocks like Regal Entertainment and Cinemark are actually now up on the week. Nevertheless, there seems to be even more trouble on the horizon for the movie industry. We are now firmly in summer blockbuster season, and it just doesn't look like we have any compelling ones. According to the Los Angeles Times, movie industry insiders project that ticket sales for the first weekend of May through Labor Day, so the summer movie window, will fall 5 to 10% year over year, you know, just to kind of give you an idea of the release schedule for the summer, just completely littered with sequels and reboots and, you know, rekindling franchises and things like that. You have Transformers, The Last Knight, spelled with a K. So I believe
again, the 100th Transformers movie.
That's like the 5th or 6th Transformers movie. Spider-Man Homecoming. I don't even know who Spider-Man is. I wasn't aware that there was another Spider-Man movie coming
out. I just remember Tobey Maguire
is
the last Spider-Man I saw.
You didn't see any of the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man?
No, not interested.
I thought that they were better than the Tobey ones. I'm not a big Tobey Maguire fan unless he's in The Great Gatsby. I thought that movie was underrated. Moving on. War for the Planet of the Apes.
I'm actually excited. I really like that franchise. It's really well executed.
I also didn't know that was still happening either. I saw a commercial for that, and it's like, oh, they're still on that planet.
Woody Harrelson.
Yeah.
Shaving his head in that weird scene. Anyways, it looks really good.
There's also a Mummy remake coming out.
Okay. Personal anecdote. I'm a huge fan of the Brendan Fraser Mummy movies. I watched them so many times when I was younger that I would like repeat the lines as they were happening on the screen.
We need to bring Brendan Fraser back. I loved them.
Brendan Fraser, Rachel Weisz. I was obsessed with those movies.
That's how I figured it out. This is how we fix the summer Hollywood
season.
So
I'm a little nervous about this movie, but Tom Cruise is pretty reliable as an action star.
Yeah, he's a good action star, that's for sure.
But I will say Wonder Woman opens today.
Wonder Woman is out. Also a continuation.
I guess opened last night.
I don't know if... Are we counting that as a reboot? Is that a reboot?
Well, it's the first ever Wonder Woman movie.
But does that count into, like, because it's part of, like, a franchise deal?
Where I don't
know.
Like
in a universe? I don't know. The that's DC compelling. I'm excited universe. About that one. That,
Me too.
That's compelling.
Can't
Am
wait
I going
to
go
it.
See Transformers The Last Night? Probably not.
No. Wait
Am I going
for
to see Spider-Man
DVD.
Homecoming? No, probably not. I think, though, the solution to all of our problems, and you touched on, is we just need to get Brendan Fraser back in the movie.
Yes.
And we'll be good.
I don't know. What was the last thing he was in?
He was actually recently cast. I weirdly know a lot about Brendan Fraser's career. He was recently cast in as like a supporting role in a Bollywood movie, which is his first live action film in a couple years. He's been relatively blacklisted from Hollywood for the past few years, unfortunately.
That's sad.
He's really broke, too.
Oh.
Hashtag bring back Brendan. We should get that trending. Okay, anyway, we got lost in a rabbit hole there. And we're going to come back out of it with
Donald Trump.
Yeah, breaking news on in the Washington, D.C. realm.
Yeah, on Thursday, he pulled out of the Paris Climate Agreement.
Right. Surprise.
Surprise. But the clean energy industry, so earlier in the week, was rocked on Wednesday after a new report suggested that President Trump has made his decision to withdraw from the Paris Climate Agreement. So earlier in the week, there were initial reports. We were like, will he, won't he?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So word of the decision was first scooped by Axios. And according to sources, the administration is finalizing the details of the withdrawal through a small team that includes EPA Chief Scott Pruitt. President Trump made his official statement in the Rose Garden on Wednesday. And he said that, quote, in order to fulfill my solemn duty to protect America and its citizens, the United States will withdraw from the Paris Climate Accord, but begin negotiations to re-enter either the Paris Accord or an entirely new transaction on terms that are fair to the United States, its businesses, its workers, its people, its taxpayers, end quote. Quote, we're getting out, he added. But we will start to negotiate and we will see if we can make a deal that's fair. If we can, that's great. If we can't, that's fine. End quote. So Trump has been mulling a withdrawal from the deal for some time now in a letter from 22 Senate Republicans, including Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, calling for a clean exit from the agreement, apparently cemented Trump's decision. The U.S. will join Nicaragua and Syria as the only countries not supporting the deal. Yes, even the likes of North Korea are signed on. Mm-hmm. Stocks across the energy industry, including some popular solar and coal stocks, dipped following the initial reports on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean...
It is.
That seems like my reaction to every time we cover something coming out of this administration on the show is this. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know... As he kind of alluded to in that quote, it doesn't seem like the full details of the withdrawal have been worked out yet.
Right.
If we can, that's fine. If we can't, that's fine was a kind of a summary of what he said.
And I think it's safe to assume almost all Republicans supported this decision and no Democrats
did. It's definitely a polarizing issue. Yeah. Interesting that 22 Senate Republicans signed that letter to the president. This was coming at a time where he just returned home from international trip, meeting some of the other world leaders that helped orchestrate the Paris deal, seemingly, or I would say we could assume was talking to those world leaders about the deal, urged to
Well, it almost felt like he had changed his mind during the trip to stay in it.
Yeah.
There was like that sense that, oh, maybe.
Maybe this whole thing is working.
Yeah.
Definitely interesting. I think while we're on the topic of the trip abroad, his most interesting conversation with climate change had to be with the Pope. And that is one I would wish to be a fly on the wall for.
Oh, hands down.
The Pope and Donald Trump talking environmental policy. That would be a wonderful time. But yeah, just interesting to see not only polarizing within our own country, but kind of that polarizing opinions that he received on it. I'm assuming the conversations that he had with the European leaders being much different than the tone of the letter the Senate Republicans from home sent him.
Definitely, so, sure.
Made it official on Thursday. It was a beautiful day at the Rose Garden.
Looked stunning.
Yeah, and maybe if
the optics were great.
Hopefully climate change doesn't have an effect on
the flowers.
The early June temperature in Washington, D.C. because those photo ops are going to be less beautiful for sure. Okay, so let's get to what we hinted at the beginning of the show. Amazon Alphabet been in the news recently. If you didn't know, now you know. Both stocks this week and last week were nearing the quadruple digits, and I need my air horn for this. Amazon did it! Yay! Early Tuesday morning, I would say investors came out of the holiday weekend in a good mood.
Yeah, it was like right away Tuesday.
Yeah, they marched higher right in the morning and crossed the $1,000 threshold for the first time. Hit a peak of $1,001.20 on Tuesday morning, excuse me. Did kind of lurch back down immediately afterwards. Amazon.
It was almost like, oh, oops.
Yeah. Okay, that was
too high.
Definitely one of those reactions. Things to note there. I mean, Amazon's been crushing it this year. Shares were heading into the week. Shares were up nearly 33% year to date. One of several big tech companies that has just been killing the market so far in 2017. On the other hand, Alphabet hit some resistance on the top. The company formerly known as Google hit a new peak of $999.60.
So close.
This week, unable to hit the quadruple digit threshold. Nevertheless, the stock is a Zacks ranked number 2 buy right now. So things looking pretty solid for Alphabet's future. Like I said, hit that resistance, came back down a little bit. Seems like investors are really toying with the idea of Alphabet 1000, but not quite there yet. we're going to ask some of the questions that I think are lingering around people's minds. First of all, stock split. Good idea for either company. Obviously not necessary, but we see some companies that like to split when their prices get up really high. Disney
their
has split it
high.
Several times in the past.
They're beyond the price levels of similar companies in their sector.
Yeah.
Apple did it like 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
But it just like, I feel like Alphabet and Amazon are prime candidates for a stock split.
Uh-huh.
Stock split, excuse me. Especially Amazon, I feel they can almost like bank on that marketability factor where Amazon is all about being convenient, efficient, easy.
They're the people's champ.
They're the exactly. So in a stock split, I cannot say that word. I'm sorry. A stock split is a way for smaller investors to get in on a really popular company,
mm-hmm.
Or the one that, you know, is the one to get.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be a way for them to market that in a way to kind of
connect with
those smaller, yeah, sure, smaller time investors.
I agree with that for sure. It would almost feel more appropriate for that reason for Amazon to do it than for Alphabet to do it. Although I don't necessarily see either of the two splitting anytime soon, because I think you only really have to if you're starting to lose investors' attention because, sure, of how kind of in the clouds you are and how disconnected you are from those average investors. And while that could potentially become a problem, it seems like for now,
they're pretty safe.
Yeah, our attention is firmly planted on these two stocks. So I think assuming that there is no split, and, you know, 2000 is the next milestone, what do you think does it for Amazon? What would you like to see Amazon do to kind of reach that next threshold?
Well,
you can pick anything in the world.
Well, I will say that when they opened their bookstore in New York, it's like people didn't realize they had bookstores open before.
Uh-huh. It's a good point.
And I'm like, they had like 5 opened previously, and the Chicago one is just as cool as the New York one. It's not as big, but
yeah, it's probably cleaner.
Probably. And it's located on Southport.
Sneak diss at New York City.
Yeah. Come at me. But what can Amazon do to reach $2,000 a share? I feel like they're going to have to, like, they've reinvented, they've literally reinvented everything, uh-huh, but they're going to have to reinvent something else.
Yeah. And to me, the easiest one, I'm going to hold off on easy. I don't know about easy, but I know... I feel like the most logical next thing, and we talked about this a few weeks ago on the show, is you want to reinvent something in your Amazon, reinvent groceries reinvent groceries and pharmacies. And
yeah.
And we covered the pharmacy story there. They're interested in going into the pharmacy business soon. I think hired some advisors or were hearing plans for how to get into that market.
Right.
That seems like it could be a next step in their kind of overall shopping
dominance. They already sell pharmaceutical drugs on the site, but right, not in the U.S.
Okay. So, U.S. still a big market that's
untapped. It's like weird. It's not part of, you know, it's not part of Prime. Like, it's like... There's a lot of unanswered questions there.
Okay.
A lot of regulatory concerns that they would have to pass.
But. Yeah, and that's why I would imagine they're still at the very early planning stages.
Right. Grocery, store would be the much easier obstacle to overcome.
And so if listeners will remember, the last time we talked about Amazon in the context of groceries and grocery delivery was... kind of the news that Walmart, specifically in China, had started offering one-hour delivery services, kind of using its existing infrastructure, its existing real estate of having stores close to people and going, okay, we can get fresh groceries to you in an hour, in less time than it would take for you to go to the grocery store, get the groceries, and come back, basically.
You just picture Walmart employees just like zooming through the aisles,
which
just like racing.
So while we're on the topic of Walmart, apparently they're testing out allowing employees to deliver things on their way home from work, so that you can volunteer. They're testing out in a few markets, I think in the East Coast, the employees can voluntarily register to take home certain goods as they're leaving work for same day delivery. Anyway, same day delivery is a big thing for Amazon. Obviously, Prime in a lot of markets offers a lot of different products as same day delivery options. However, there is they do have some grocery goods as well. Amazon Fresh is certainly a thing, but it's definitely still not to that legitimate grocery delivery service.
No.
Which is a thing. It's out there. There are grocery delivery services for
Hello,
sure.
Instacart.
Uh-huh. Instacart.
Peapod.
Yeah. I was going to say there's a few others.
Those were the two, right?
And that might be a regional thing as well. Those are the Chicago ones. I'm not sure what it goes on everywhere else. But that seems like something Amazon could get in and compete with. Obviously, the kind of roadblock there is, you know, with a Walmart, for example, you can dominate it because you have all these stores that are close to people already. With an Instacart, that's kind of like an Uber for grocery delivery, right, where you have people, like regular shoppers, going out to these stores, sure, and bringing them to people.
And Instacart has partnered with Whole Foods in the past. They have that part, like a really smart relationship. But yeah, Instacart workers go to any grocery store, mm-hmm, and get your groceries for you. It's really nice. But yeah, with Amazon, they would have to not only build the grocery stores,
mm-hmm,
but hire the workers.
Yeah.
And then the workers, like, paying for, it's like all of these like extra expenses that they're going to have to take into consideration. It's all like the potential losses.
Yeah, that's a costly upfront type of deal. I will also say, you know, away from the e-commerce side of things, Amazon seemingly doing a lot of really interesting things with artificial intelligence. I know Bezos recently spoke on that. And then, of course, the media department growing as, mm-hmm, well, still investments going in into that area. So, I mean, could it be entertainment that takes them to the next level? Is that already kind of priced in? Who knows? Could they come up with something really great on the AI side of things? Is Alexa going to be the kind of market leader of AI as we go forward? And will that propel things? Maybe they get into something new like grocery, like pharmacy. We'll see. We're a long way away from Amazon 2000. We haven't really established Amazon 1000 as a consistent thing yet. So TBD. I'll ask the same question about Google. I think we won't have enough time to expand on Google as much. Or should I say Alphabet? Excuse me. That was rude. For me, I'm gonna start at the same place, which is video streaming, entertainment, media. YouTube TV just launched. YouTube Red is still kind of in its infancy. And then also AI. You have the Google Assistant and the Google Home product.
Definitely.
Just now kind of getting out there. But the simple truth of the situation with Alphabet right now is 80% of around 80% of the company's revenue is still coming from search. So
and ads. Revenue from ads, yeah.
So I would say the next step would be trying to make others would be a larger focus on other segments.
Well, I think their self-driving car technology,
mm-hmm,
I think is years ahead of anyone else.
Yeah, they're certainly up there in the leading pack of people who will be dominating that when it starts.
Yeah, when it finally arrives.
2020.
2020 is the year. Who knows if that will be the actual year when 2020 arrives. But that I think has the potential. Like, I just think that has huge potential for Alphabet.
Yeah,
if they can get, you know, past this crazy lawsuit with Uber,
mm-hmm,
and just the huge probably losses, bringing it to the mass market.
When does it? Yeah, and that's the question: is how? When does it become? When did it? I'm assuming this already happened with the whole like shift to Waymo instead of it just being the side project.
But yeah,
at some point, it has to become less of a passion project that is getting a lot of R&D cash poured into it, and more of a, okay, now we're starting to generate revenue from this, even though we've been pumping cash into it for over a decade now. So yeah, the last I had heard, the most obvious plan for them was a kind of like self-driving car fleets that you can call, like a Uber type of thing.
Yeah,
so it's going to directly compete in that space.
But I mean,
something I think we'll be talking about maybe 5 years from now, 10 years from now, as a legitimate source of revenue for Alphabet. Okay, running low on time a little bit here. I touched on when we first started this segment, Amazon, Alphabet, just two of the large tech companies that have been dominating. Apple's had a great year thus far. You could say the same across the blue chip tech industry. Do you see that continuing? We're in June now, so we're getting almost to the second half of the year. Do you see that continuing throughout the rest of the year? Or do you see a pullback on these large tech stocks at all?
No.
I mean, we haven't even got an iPhone 8 yet.
I know. That's what I'm saying. And I really want an iPhone 8.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I feel like more than ever, tech stocks are too important.
That's a good
They've continued to be, too important of growth drivers.
Yeah.
Because they've immersed themselves in huge growth industries.
Yeah, emerging markets.
Emerging clouds.
Markets. We didn't even mention Amazon Web Services.
Big data, self-driving cars, even tech companies that aren't public. And like Airbnb and Spotify and Uber and these huge tech IPOs that, you know, I feel like we're just going to be continuously talking about tech companies and tech stocks for the rest of this year.
Yeah, definitely. And just that attention alone will I think if there's that amount of attention and this overwhelmingly bullish market at an overall standpoint continues, then that attention will turn into good things for share prices. Would think the only thing that's really going to cause a pullback is a full market pullback.
Sure.
Because the fundamental picture for these big tech companies is not changing anytime soon. So I think it would take a change in the fundamental picture for the overall market before we see any sort of adjustment here. These are going to be our drivers through the end of the year and onward, I would assume.
Yeah,
We haven't even gotten the iPhone 8 yet.
We haven't even gotten the iPhone 8.
So, and Apple's been killing it as well, as I said. So it's been a crazy year for tech companies already. And it should continue, honestly. I hope we have Amazon finding its home at 1,000 and cheers to Alphabet getting there soon. But those are just two opinions out of billions of opinions. So, what do you guys have to say about tech companies in the second half of the year? Did we miss something? What will make Amazon go to 2,000? How about Alphabet? Let us know your thoughts. Or if you want us to cover a different story, remember that you can just shoot us an email at podcast@zacks.com. You can also check out all of our other exclusive audio content at zacks.com/podcasts. And then while you're at it, remember to subscribe and leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. Thanks again for joining us, and we will see you next time on the Zacks Friday Finish Line.